board meeting for the City of Palm Coast on Wednesday, May 4th, 2016. We will call the meeting to order. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Please make sure that all your cell phones are off or on vibrate so they do not disturb the meeting. Yvonne, can we have a roll call, please?
Mr. Brannon?
Here.
Mr. Roberts?
Here.
Mr. Copeland?
Here.
Mr. Mugford?
Here.
Ms. McDowell?
Present.
Ms. Medley?
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you. Do I hear a motion to approve the meeting minutes of April 6, 2016?
Make a motion, we accept the minutes as stated.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
So ordered. Are there any disclosures of ex parte communications? If not, we'll have the swearing in of staff. If you could all please rise if you're going to be speaking today in reference to one of your cases. And face Mary, our attorney.
You think you might speak, just go ahead and get sworn in. That would be best. Do you and each of you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to present shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Thank you.
Thank you. On the screens, you'll see a list of withdrawn cases. Along with that, there is one that is not on the screen. That's AI-7, case number 2015-071609. That is also withdrawn. And in addition to what's up there, you have case number 2015-120274 and case number 2015-120481. Both of those are not listed up there but have been withdrawn. Our first case this morning will be AI 33. It is case number 2016-010985. It's a recurring case. The City of Palm Coast versus Holly J. and Robert D. Douglas, 7 Birchwood Place, Palm Coast Code Section 35-76D2, nuisance accumulations.
For the record, the respondent is present. Good morning. Court officer Louis Mendez for the City of Palm Coast. I'm entering to evidence city composite 1 proving proper service, along with photographs taken that depict the condition and date as time is indicated. The facts of the case as follows. On the 6th day of August 2014, a notice of violation was issued. Upon reinspection, the violation was corrected and the case was closed. The current notice of violation was issued on 26th day of January 2016, given one day to comply. Proper noticing procedures were followed on all cases, having a compliance on February 5th, 2016. A check of the property was conducted before code board, and the violation has been corrected. This is the second notice for the same violation on this property and property owner. Based upon the testimony and evidence submitted in this case, the city is requesting that the board should impose the following. Motion B, no fine, standing order, recurring, plus $53.50 administrative costs.
And Robert Douglas, is that you, sir?
Yes, that's correct. Okay,
could you state your name and your address, sir?
Yes, my name is Robert David Douglas. My address is 7 Birchwood Place, Palm Coast, Florida.
Okay. And what do you have to say in reference to this case, sir?
In reference to this case, the main thing I've got to say is Holly J. Douglas is also included in this. She has not been an owner of the property since 2013. So any orders that would be issued pursuant to her, I would think would be void. So that would be the first concern, I guess, I would bring to this board's attention. There's a divorce decree removing her from the property, and a quitclaim deed has been recorded before this hearing ever took place. So that's the first issue, is any orders regardless of this cannot legally pertain to Holly J. Douglas. So that would be the first.
Are there any questions from the board members?
I have a copy of divorce decree and a quick claim deed if need be.
Has the property been brought into compliance?
Yes, sir.
Yes. If there are no further questions, I'll accept the motion.
A motion, we accept the city's recommendation.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to accept the city's recommendation. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? So ordered. All right, sir, the city recommended a no-fine order with administrative costs. And you can discuss that with the code enforcement officer, how that gets taken care of.
Okay. What about the parties? You've just issued an order against a party that doesn't own the property.
I can't hear you, sir.
I said you've just issued an order against a non-owner of the property. So what are we doing about that?
You can talk to him about that.
You're the ones who just issued the order, right?
Yeah. You have to contact the property appraisers to correct that.
No, it's been corrected. I have a copy of it right here. Your order that you just issued is incorrect. I'm bringing it to your attention.
To our counsel, does this mean anything to us?
Your order, Mr. Reichman can look at it. If it's been recorded, what they can do is just make it against Mr. Douglas. It doesn't have to be against both of them.
Exactly. So. That's what I'm asking to be done. Just follow the law.
If it actually has been recorded, and there you go.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, sir. What we'll do is we'll double-check the property appraiser's office. Obviously, all of you know that we're required to provide notice to the individuals and to the parties that are listed in the property appraiser's office, and I'm sure that's what staff did. So we'll double-check to make sure. And it's possible that there could be a mix-up at the property appraiser's office.
Sure.
We'll double-check that.
For $53, I don't care about that, but I do not want my ex-wife.
No, we're going to get it right, sir. But I just want you to know that's why we're required to provide notice pursuant to what's on the property appraiser. So we just got to double check.
Just double check and then issue it correctly. It would be perfect.
You betcha.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Okay.
Next case.
Our next case is at the same address. It's AI 34. It's case number 20160108 6. It's a repeat violation. The City of Palm Coast versus Holly J. and Robert D. Douglas, 7 Birchwood Place, Palm Coast Code Section 44-34C, parking of a trailer in a residential district.
For the record, respondents present. Court officer Louis Mendez for the City of Palm Coast. I'm entering into evidence city composite 1 proving proper service, along with photographs. These photos taken depicting the condition and date as time is indicated. The facts of the case as follows. The respondent was previously found in violation of the same code on the 11th day of January 2010. This violation was corrected. The repeat notice of violation was written on the 26th day of January 2016, given 0 days. Repeat fined until in compliance. The respondent was in repeat violation of the above cited code for the period of 1/26/16 to 2/4/16, in compliance on 2/5/16. Recheck of the property was conducted before code board. The violation has been corrected. This is the second repeat. Based upon the testimony and evidence submitted in this case, the city is requesting that the board should impose the following. Comply repeat violation motion D, requesting a fine of $150 a day for 10 days in violation for a total of $1,500, plus administrative costs of $70 to the city.
What was the administrative cost?
$70.
And Mr. Douglas, what do you have to say in reference to that?
I'd like to see the pictures back up here again. The photographs that was just shown during the testimony indicated from 2013-2014. So I'm confused because none of those dates correspond with any of the alleged violations. So if these are pictures from prior alleged incidences or whatever, I don't see what relevance they have to today's case. Additionally, I bring to the board's attention that the notice of hearing that was actually served on me shows that I was in violation on 1/11 of 2010. This time period exceeds 5 years by statute. It cannot be a repeat violation.
Are there any questions from the board members?
Yes, he was brought back in 2014, December 3rd, 2014.
There's been no evidence here whatsoever presented to that fact. And I specifically dispute that.
Here goes the order from that time.
I have no knowledge of whether Holly J. Douglas was served, who did not own the property at that time. I was never served nor given an opportunity to appear. This order, I maintain, does not have any relevance to me whatsoever. The only order that's referenced in the notice is from 2010. It's more than 5 years ago. Per statute, I cannot be found as a repeat violator. So unless they have evidence today to show that I, Robert D. Douglas, at 7 Birchwood Place, was ever served with anything other than the 2010 order, by statute, I cannot be found as a repeat violator today.
To the city's attorney, what's the response?
On your screen is the 2014 order, and I'd like for the staff to describe exactly that order. That was an order finding, and I apologize, I can't read that on the screen. Who are the respondents on that order?
Holly J. and Robert D. Douglas.
All right. And that's the same respondent that's involved in the matter before us today?
Robert is here, yes.
All right. And we're not here to argue about the history. We're not here to argue about what happened in 2014. The time for that appeal is past. So the issues are: has this individual been guilty of a violation, and been found by this code enforcement board to be in violation within the last 5 years of the same violation? And it's the city's position that the answer to all those questions are yes, because you have the same respondent being found in violation of the same code in 2014, and that's reflected in the order that is shown on your screen, and that was sent consistent with Chapter 162 to the respondent.
My response to that would simply be that we could clear all of this up if there's any evidence in the city's record whatsoever that I was notified of this violation, including the pictures of a posting on the garage door of 7 Birchwood Place with the correct date from the time period. If there's a return receipt requested as required, that I sign for it. If there's any evidence whatsoever other than this order that I never knew about until today, then
again,
I would accept the city's findings.
Again, Mr. Chairman, we're not here to dispute.
Well, we are here to dispute it, because you can't do a repeat violation without having this piece of evidence, and you can't support this evidence, apparently, so it doesn't exist.
As a matter of law, Mr. Chairman, the time for this gentleman to challenge the notice requirements in the 2014 order passed by Chapter 162, the respondents,
if I was notified, that's true,
were provided, were allowed 30 days to appeal. That 30 days has passed. That is the order, and that is within the five-year period sufficient to satisfy the requirement for the 5 years.
So the only issue remains whether or not I was notified, because I agree that 30 days would have passed if I had been notified. If there's a notice problem, there is a provision to overturn this in the law, and I'm sure you're aware of that. 30 days would not apply if I was never noticed. So if you can demonstrate that I was noticed, even by a photograph of a posting on a garage door, which I clearly would have seen because I live there, then I say we got it, and you got it.
I'm not here to respond to this gentleman unless you ask me to.
Well, I'd like the officer to respond. We always have notification proof. Can you just come up with that for us now?
I'm happy to respond. What is required for today is proof of the notice for today, and obviously the respondent is here today. As far as what happened in 2014, the notice requirements at that time would have been put into the evidence, put into the record at that time. I do not know whether the staff has available today what the evidence was in 2 years ago, in 2014. That would be something that, if it had been challenged within 30 days of 2014, that would have been the time to challenge the notice compliance, or the compliance with the notice requirements under our city code in Chapter 162. But what I'm hearing the respondent say, he's not challenging the notice that he received for today's hearing. He's challenging the notice that he received for the hearing that happened 2 years ago. And for purposes of today, the notice is legal.
I don't think you're hearing the issue. The issue is you cannot charge me as a repeat violator unless you tie it to this order, this prior order. I'm maintaining if you can't demonstrate the prior order ever existed, you don't have a repeat violation. We haven't gotten to the merits of this case today, and I'm not disputing whether I was notified for today's case. I'm disputing that if you're going to charge me $1,500 as a repeat violator, you have to tie it to the prior order. If the prior order against me is not lawfully obtained, then it does not exist and cannot be used as a basis to further today's
The order is valid until it has been reversed. It has not been reversed.
Are there any further questions from the board members?
I have a question for our attorney regarding this whole notice and how it is tied to a repeat violation and his right to be properly noticed. And if we're tying it to a repeat violation based on being noticed, what is the...
Well, you're tying it to a repeat violation based on your order from 2014, which you have seen here today up on your screen. And in each case, you hear testimony about notification. So I would presume you probably heard testimony in 2014 about the notification, and whether what the notification requirements is to send it to the property owner at the address of the property that the property appraiser or the tax collector has, or posts, et cetera. And, you know, you would have heard testimony about that then and dealt with it then if you had felt concerned, would be my response.
Okay. Are there any further questions? If not, I'll accept the motion.
You haven't heard.
I move that that we accept the city's recommendation.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to accept the city's recommendation. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, so ordered. All right, sir. Thank you.
Same issue again on the Holly J. Douglas.
Yeah,
excuse me?
The recommendation was to find the respondent. So the right. City will deal with who the appropriate respondent is, if
yeah,
it's
just
both
want,
or
just
one.
Just want to make sure our record is clear on that.
Once they get with the property appraiser.
Right. Okay. That'll be done for both orders, sir.
Okay. Just want to make sure we're good for circuit court.
Our next case is AI 35.
It's been drawn.
Whoops.
35 was
that's gone.
Drawn.
No, there are two cases.
That was just the second withdrawn? Case right there.
Yeah, we have two cases.
35 and 36.
35 and 36.
I'm sorry. Withdrawn. We're going to take AI 35.
It was 34 and 35.
We're going to take AI 35.
Both cases have been withdrawn.
They were withdrawn.
35 is withdrawn.
I was told 35 was withdrawn.
My mistake. I crossed out 35 and said 36.
No, I did too. I was told it was withdrawn.
35 was withdrawn.
I see it as a recurring case.
It's now been withdrawn.
That's case number 20151204 81.
It's been withdrawn.
It's been withdrawn.
Yes, Mr. Chairman,
has
that,
been?
Yes. That case also has been withdrawn.
Yes.
35 and 36 withdrawn.
We're working very hard to get done as quickly as possible today.
Our next case is AI 12. Case number 20160205 2, a recurring case, the City of Palm Coast versus Gregory S. Jr. and Carol Y. Garris, 43 Karras Trail, Palm Coast Code Section 44-34I. Parking in the median.
Good morning. For the record, the respondents are present. Code Officer Fitzgerald for the City of Palm Coast. I am entering into evidence the city's composite, proving proper service, along with numerous photographs. These photos depict the conditions on the date and some times as indicated. The facts of the case are as follows. On the 24th day of November 2014, a notice of violation was written and primary inspection and violation was corrected, and the case was closed. On the 15th day of July 2015, a notice of violation was written, and upon reinspection, the violation was corrected, and the case was closed. On the 9th day of October 2015, a notice of violation was written, and upon reinspection, the violation was corrected, and the case was closed. On the 23rd day of October 2015, a notice of violation was written, and upon reinspection, the violation was corrected, and the case was closed. The current notice of violation was written on the 4th day of February 2016, giving one day to comply. Proper noticing procedures were followed in this and all cases. Also to add, all these notices of violations were driven by 6 complaints over the phone regarding this violation. And the code officer at the time went out and observed the violation and issued a notice of violation on that same day. A recheck of the property was conducted before code board on the third day of May 2016, and the violation has been corrected. This is the sixth notice given for the same violation on this property owner. Based upon the testimony and evidence submitted in this case, the city is requesting that the board impose the following no fine standing order A, an administrative cost of $53.50.
Is Gregory S. Jr. or Carol Garris present? State your name and your address, sir.
My name is Bobby Berry. I live at 43 Karras Trail in Palm Coast.
And you are you the tenant?
I am. I've been leasing the property since June of last year.
Say that again?
I've been leasing the property since June of last year from the Garrises.
And excuse, you're speaking on behalf of the owners?
Well, I was told that I had to, because I'm leasing the property, that's my nephew's truck in the driveway. What I found out after receiving this notice, I called the City of Palm Coast Code Enforcement, and she said I had to appear. I didn't receive any of the notices. What I come to find out after talking to my nephew, he was tearing the notices off the garage door and throwing them away. I apologize profusely. My landlord called me because the City of Palm Coast contacted them. They didn't do a change of address when they moved until like 2 months after they moved and we moved in. I don't know how they finally, you know, got a notice to them. They called me, let me know I needed to contact code enforcement. I had no idea any of this was going on. And when I found out and received this notice, I questioned my nephew. He said, yeah, I threw the notices away. I thought they were a warning. I said, I called the lady at the City of Palm Coast. She sent me three pictures. I didn't know there were this many pictures. I didn't know about this reoccurring violation until I called and found out, and she only sent me three pictures. I said, my suggestion is I would like to see some human contact from code enforcement, more than a notice. Make an effort. Come by at 5 o'clock. I work between 8 and 12 hours a day. A notice can blow away. A teenager can throw it away. I hadn't talked to a code enforcement officer.
Those recommendations, sir, you need to take to the city council.
Okay.
We're only here to determine if there's
a
violation or see a violation. Are there any further questions from the board members? If not, I'll accept the motion.
Make a motion we accept the city's recommendation.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to accept the city's recommendation of a no-fine order and administrative costs. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All those opposed? So ordered. Thank you, sir. I kind of jumped around there, but let's go to AI 14. It's case number 20160200006, a recurring case. The City of Palm Coast versus Kim Allen and Elizabeth Berry, 6 Katrina Place, Palm Coast Code Section 44-34C, parking of a commercial vehicle in a residential district.
Good morning. For the record, respondent is present. Code Officer Fitzgerald for the City of Palm Coast. I am entering into evidence the city's composite proving proper service along with numerous photographs. These photos depict the conditions on the dates and times as indicated. Facts of the case are as follows. On the 7th day of August 2014, a notice of violation was written, and part of the inspection, the violation was corrected, and the case was closed. On the 2nd day of September 2014, a notice of violation was written, and part of the inspection, the violation was corrected, and the case was closed. On the 11th day of January 2015, a notice of violation was written, and part of the inspection, the violation was corrected, and the case was closed. On the 23rd day of October 2015, a notice violation was written, upon re-inspection, the violation was corrected, and the case was closed. The current notice of violation was written on the 31st day of January 2016, given 1 day to comply. Proper noticing procedures were followed in this and all cases. A recheck of the property was conducted before code board on the third day of May 2016, and a violation has been corrected. This is the sixth notice given for the same violation on this property owner. Based upon testimony and evidence submitted in this case, the city is requesting that the board impose the following no fine standing order: A, an administrative cost of $53.50.
$53.50. Thought we were giving them a break. It's Kim Allen or is Elizabeth Berry come forward? You here, sir?
Yes, sir.
State your name and your address.
Kim Allen Berry and 6 Katrina Place. And it sounds like my issue would be worth more with the council instead of you. Sounds like y'all don't deal with any real dispute of the situation, because I need to find out, are they, how long has this been? Because I lived in Seminole Woods for 10 years and I never got any notices. I parked my van there and everything, and I don't understand why tradesmen of the city are being penalized for bringing their vehicles to the house, because that's just a normal customary thing. I just thought that the city was saying that I was having some kind of commercial business in my house. I thought that was the big deal, but it turns out it's just the vehicle itself on my property that is the problem. So I thought it was more than that, but it's just they don't allow that at all. So I got to figure out what I'm going to do. Do I need to get magnets and put on it? And then I think there's the issue of the ladders or something I heard too. If the ladders were off of there, I could take the ladders off every night, put them back in the somewhere, and then put them back on my truck every morning. But then the cost of that labor, I don't know where that would come from. Is the city going to pay me to take the ladders off every night and put them back on? That's where I'm a little confused, because that's extra labor. And I have never signed any paperwork stating that I'm in some kind of a $300,000-$400,000 home area that people will worry about this. None of my neighbors worry about this.
Right, are there any questions from the board members? If not, I'll accept the motion.
Make a motion to accept the city's recommendation.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to accept the city's recommendation of a no-fine order and administrative costs. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, so ordered. All right, thank you, sir.
Sir, if you'll get with the code enforcement officer, he'll explain to you what will need to be done to bring your property into compliance.
Our next case will be AI 23. It's case number 20160109 39, a recurring case. The City of Palm Coast versus Sabrina Loveland, 28 Ryan Drive, Palm Coast Code Section 41-17A5, trash containers.
Oh, sorry.
Excuse me. I didn't know. Good morning.
Good morning.
Joe Festival, City of Palm Coast. I'm entering into evidence City Composite 1, proving proper service along with numerous photographs. These photos depict the conditions on the gate and the time is indicated. The facts of the case are as follows. On February 2nd, 2015, a warning notice was written, and upon re-inspection, the violation was corrected and the case was closed. On March 9th, 2015, a warning notice was written, and upon re-inspection, the violation was corrected and the case was closed. Current warning notice was written on January 25th, 2016, giving 1 day to comply. Proper noticing procedure was followed in all cases. A recheck of the property was conducted on 2nd day of May 2016, and a violation was corrected. This is the third notice given for the same violation. Excuse me. Based upon testimony and evidence submitted in this case, the city is requesting the board impose the following. No fine standing order B, recurring and administrative cost of $5,350.
All right, Sabrina Loveland.
And just for the record, I want to make sure the record's clear. When the city said it was a warning notice, those were notices of violation, which are obviously.
Correct. Yeah, my mistake.
Come forward and state your name and address, please.
Sabrina Loveland, 28 Ryan Drive.
Okay. And what do you have to say in reference to this, Sabrina?
I'm her husband. I don't even know why I'm not on order. But anyway, I work out of town Monday through Friday. She has chronic scoliosis, and she's unable to take the trash out. So I typically take it out Monday mornings before I leave. There's really no way around it for her. We have all the documentation showing it. It's going to be a recurring offense because of this, because of the fact that I work out of town, and she's unable to take the trash out. So I don't know how we can come up with a resolution to this. I don't want to keep getting fined for something that we can't control.
And there's times he works overnight. So he'll take it out the night before he leaves, so I can't do it in the morning. So that's some of the issues that we're coming across.
If I could just say, it's just that one of your neighbors are complaining.
I
the call in the middle of the day, like 11 o'clock, and say, hey, they just put trash out at 10 o'clock in the morning. And that's why, you know.
Yeah, and that's typically the situation because I'm getting ready to leave for work. The problem we have is we have a very nice property. I don't understand what our neighbors have against us. It's something that she's unable to prevent from happening for the simple fact of the disease that she has. So that's why I want to kind of go back to the fact that it's going to happen again, and we don't want to continue getting the fines for it.
Just on this one here, this is saying that like 10:14 in the morning, the day before Robert's day. This was like on a Monday morning at 10 o'clock. That Robert says we picked up to Tuesday.
Yeah,
and that's why the neighbors are called.
The problem we have is if I'm out of town.
I understand. Yeah. I'd just like to know.
I get it. I'm not here. I don't want to dispute with you. You know, I just want to find a resolution to this because this is going to continuously happen, and I don't know how we can satisfy it when it's something. You know, if it's a like little trash bag or something, she can carry that. But when we have full trash cans, she can't. I mean, she has a brace that she has to wear constantly because of the situation she's in. We have all the documentation from the doctors and everything. It's something that's out of our control. Our kids are too small to carry the trash out.
Okay. Sir, I must caution you that this is a recurring case, okay, and it's occurred before. If you're found to be in violation, then it becomes a repeat case the next time it happens, and the fines can get extremely expensive on a daily basis. It's not the city's job to determine how to correct the problem. It's your problem. You have to make that determination, not the board or not the city council. For you to come here and say that it's going to continue to happen, I can tell you from experience that this board is going to make it a repeat case, and then the attachments start going against your house all the way to the point of foreclosure if necessary. So I would search very deeply and find a way to rectify this, whether you have to have your neighbor put out your trash or whatever the case may be. But it's a violation that somebody on your street or in your location is complaining about. So it's going to end up, like you say, come back here. So we're not here to cure the problem. We're here to find out if you're in violation. It's your requirement to cure the problem. I just want to state that because it seems as though you're reaching out to the city to tell you what to do with it. We're not going to tell you what to do.
I'm not asking you to tell me what to do. I'm explaining to you that it's out of our control. You're asking me to basically quit my job in order to make sure my trash is out after 5 o'clock on Monday.
No, we're not asking you to quit your job. We're not asking you to do anything. We're asking you to bring your property into compliance and keep it in compliance. That's all we're asking. We're not recommending you do anything. You have to do that.
Mr. Chairman, if I could interject. Excuse me. I'm sorry. I agree with you as far as purposes of today. You know, there's a violation, and they acknowledge it, and there won't be a fine because this is just a recurring case. What I would suggest is that these folks get with the city co-enforcement officers, including Barbara Grossman, this lady sitting right here. There is a provision in our city code for different tools that might be available to accommodate folks that where the American Disabilities Act, ADA, could apply. And there may be some, this would fit, possibly your situation would fit that. There's some, I don't want to use the word variances, but there's some accommodations that potentially could be made. They might have some good suggestions for the two of you as far as tools that might be available for shielding the garbage and the trash, possibly some tools that, and again, I don't want to get into the substance of it, but tools for assisting you in getting the garbage out in compliance with the code. Again, not saying that for purposes of today, that none of that is relevant. The city would ask that you enter the order that the staff has requested for purposes of today. But I just wanted to suggest those options for the respondents. They may be able to find some assistance working with staff under our code provisions, which incorporate references to the American Disabilities Act, ADA.
Thank you.
Are there any further questions from the board members? If not, I'll accept the motion.
Motion to accept the city's recommendation.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to accept the city's recommendation of a no-fine order with administrative costs. All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed, so ordered. All right, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Mr. Chair, can I request Mr. Loveland's first name for the record, please?
Sorry. It's Brian, B-R-Y-A-N.
Thank you.
All right, our next case will be AI 1. It's case number 2015-090738. It's a Massey case. The City of Palm Coast versus PID Group LLC, 19 Blaisdell Court, Palm Coast Code Section 17-39A. Residential rental program.
Good morning. For the record, the respondent is present. Code enforcement officer Rich Segala for the City of Palm Coast. I am entering into evidence the city's composite improving proper service and a copy of the original board order along with numerous photographs. This case was heard on the 6th of January 2016. The order was signed on the January 11, 2016, giving 5 days to comply, which would have been the 19th of January, 2016, or a fine of $25 per day. The property was in violation from January 19th to March 31st, 2016, a total of 73 days, at a fine of $25 for a day, equaling totaling $1,825. Based on the testimony and evidence submitted in this case, the city is requesting that the board impose the following. Massey motion F in compliance now and administrative cost of $69.50.
Is anybody here representing PID Group LLC?
Yes, sir.
I believe she needs to be sworn in.
Were you sworn in earlier?
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to present shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
And what do you have to say? State your name and your address, please.
Shelley Dennis, 27 Oakview Circle. I'm here and I'm representing PID for 19 Blaisdell.
Okay.
We have a lot of rentals. We paid the $5 fee to put them on the rental program. It's not a big deal. This one, we were told we didn't have to register because she's not renting it, she's buying it. When she got the notice on the door, she had gone down. It wasn't here. It was at the other one. And they told her she didn't have to because she told them she wasn't renting it. So if we had known then, and then when we got the letter saying that there was all these fines, of course I went right down there to register it. And I was just like, this could have been done months ago if they told us we had to. I didn't know.
Okay. And how was it determined that, to the code enforcement, how was it determined that it was a rental property?
I have a copy of the current county appraiser showing that PID Group is the owner of the property, copy of the water lease, the water utility bill, and also a copy of the residential lease agreement with the tenant's name on it.
Are there any further questions from the board members? If not, I'll accept the motion.
Move to accept the city's recommendation.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to accept the city's recommendation. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? So ordered. All right, thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen of the board, if I would just take a second. We have a former chairman of this board that came into the meeting, and she's just sitting back there smiling, and she wanted to find out if this really was the meeting room that she expected it to be.
what a big space you've grown into.
I believe you were chairman when I first came on the board. We won't say how far back. But thank you for being here. Our next case is AI-5. It's case number 20160210015. It's a recurring case. The City of Palm Coast versus Elena Dvornakova and Yulik Dejerev. 284 Parkview Drive, Palm Coast Code Section 15-108H, inoperable vehicle.
Good morning. The respondents are not present. Code Enforcement Officer John Stafford for the City of Palm Coast. I am entering into evidence, composite, one provided service along with numerous photographs. These photographs depict the conditions and the date and time of, as indicated. The facts of the case are as followed. On the 6th day of January 2013, a notice was written, and upon reinspection, the violation was corrected and the case was closed. On the 18th day of March 2014, a notice was written, upon reinspection, the violation was corrected and the case was closed. On the 13th day of May 2014, a notice was written, upon reinspection, the violation was corrected and the case was closed. The current notice was written on the 26th day of February 2016, given 5 days to comply. Proper notice procedures were followed in all the cases. A recheck of the property was conducted on the 4th day of May 2016, and the violation has not been corrected. I want to add there's a red pickup that's still on jacks and another vehicle that has a flat tire. This is the fourth notice given for the same violation on the property owner. On the day of the hearing, notice was posted 5/13/16. I also noticed that the violation still existed. Based upon testimony and evidence submitted in this case, the city is requesting that the board impose the following. A fine violation order C, I recommend giving 3 days to comply or a fine of $50 per day and an administrative cost of $69.
Are there any questions from the board members?
Has there been any communication from the owner of the vehicle as to why it's constantly in this condition?
It's an O-Post house. I've had no contact with them. I have posted all the notices and recordings.
Are there any further questions? If not, I'll accept the motion.
Motion to accept the city's recommendation.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to accept the city's recommendation. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? So ordered. Our next case is AI-6, case number 20160210018, also a recurring case. The City of Palm Coast versus Jose Acevedo, 37 Price Lane, Palm Coast Code Section 35-76D1, nuisance accumulations.
The respondents are not present. Code Enforcement Officer John Stafford for the City of Palm Coast. I am entering into evidence, city's composite, providing the proper service along with numerous photographs. These photographs depict the conditions on the date and time I've indicated. The facts of the case are as followed. On the 19th day of October 2011, a notice was written, and upon reinspection, the violation was corrected and the case was closed. On the 6th day of September 2012, a notice was written, and upon reinspection, the violation was corrected and the case was closed. The current notice was written on the 26th day of February 2016 and given 3 days to comply. Proper notice and procedures were followed in all cases. A recheck of the property was conducted on the 13th day of April 2016 and the violation had been corrected. This is the third notice given for the same violation on the property owner. There's no notes. Based upon the testimony and evidence submitted in this case, the city is requesting that the board impose the following. No fine, standing order A.
And what are the administrative fees?
Oh, I'm sorry. $5,350.
Are there any questions from the board members?
It appears that this is a repeat situation, but there's different materials involved. Bicycles, lawnmower. In this case, looks like construction materials and pallets thrown in the property next door.
Yes, it was from that gentleman, and he had placed it on a vacant lot.
Are there any further questions? If not, I'll accept the motion.
Motion to accept the city's recommendation.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to accept the city's recommendation. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? So ordered. Our next case is AI 10, case number 20160020119. It's a recurring case. The City of Palm Coast versus Brooke Durgin, 4 Coral Reef Court North, Palm Coast Code Section 15-108D, Weeds and Overgrowth.
Good morning. Code Officer Mike Haddon for the City of Palm Coast. For the record, respondent is not present. I'm entering evidence of suit composite one proving proper service along with numerous photos. These photos show the condition of the date and time as indicated in the facts of the case are as follows. On the 10th day of March 2015, a notice was written for an overgrown lawn. On reinspection, the violation is corrected, the case is closed. 30th day of June 2015, a notice was written. On reinspection, the violation is corrected, and this case is closed. 14th day of September 2015, a notice was written for overgrown lawn. On reinspection, the violation is corrected, and the case is closed. The current notice was written on the second day of February 2016, giving one day for compliance. Proper notice and procedure is followed in all cases. Recheck of the property is conducted on the 23rd day of February 2016, and the violation had been corrected. This is the fourth notice given for the same violation as property and property owner. Note, since scheduling the address for code board, I have written two additional notices for overgrown. Both these cases also came into compliance. Based upon testimony and evidence in this case, the city is requesting the board impose the following: a fine violation, order B, recurring violation in compliance, administrative cost of $53.50.
Are there any questions from the board members? If not, I'll accept the motion.
Motion to accept the city's recommendation.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to accept the city's recommendation. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? So ordered. Our next case is AI 15, case number 20160020666, a recurring case. The City of Palm Coast versus Andrea M. Manrique and Oscar and Joe O. Mariano. 11 Biscayne Lane, Palm Coast Code Section 44-34I, parking in a median.
For the record, the respondents are not present. I'm Code Enforcement Officer McDonald for the City of Palm Coast. I'm entering to evidence the city's composite one, proving proper service along with numerous photographs. These photos depict the conditions on the date and times indicated. The facts of the case are as follows. On the 11th day of May 2015, a notice was written. Upon reinspection, the violation was correct and the case was closed. The current notice was written on the 18th day of February 2016, giving 1 hour for compliance. Proper noticing procedures were followed in this and all cases. A recheck of the property was conducted on the third day of May 2016, and the violation has been corrected. This is the second notice given for the same violation on this property. Based upon the testimony evidence submitted in this case, the city is requesting that the board impose the following: a no fine, standing order B. This is for the recurring violation that is in compliance, an administrative cost of $5,350.
Are there any questions from the board members?
There are two different vehicles involved. Is it the same person?
Yes.
Are there any other questions? Not, I'll accept the motion.
I make a motion to accept the city's recommendation.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to accept the city's recommendation. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? So ordered. Our next case is AI 16, case number 20160-20584, a recurring case. City of Palm Coast versus Andrea M. Manrique and Oscar and Joe O. Mariano, 11 Biscay Lane, Palm Coast Code Section 44-34C, parking of a trailer in a residential district.
For the record, respondents are not present. Code Enforcement Officer McDonald for the City of Palm Coast. I'm entering to evidence the city's composite one, proving proper service along with the numerous photographs. These photos depict the conditions on the date and time as indicated. The facts of the case are as follows. On the 13th day of September 2013, a notice was written. Upon reinspection, the violation was corrected and the case was closed. On the 13th day of June 2014, a notice was written. Upon reinspection, the violation was corrected and the case was closed. On the 25th day of January 2016, a notice was written. Upon reinspection, the violation was corrected and the case was closed. Current notice was written on the 18th day of February 2016, giving 1 hour for compliance. Proper noticing procedures were followed in this and all cases. A recheck of the property was conducted on the 3rd day of May 2016, and the violation has been corrected. This is the fourth notice given for the same violation on this property. Based upon testimony and evidence submitted in the case, this is requesting that the board impose the following, a no-fine standing order B. This is for the recurring violation in compliance, administrative cost of $5,350.
Are there any questions from the board members?
Has there been communication with the owner regarding this trailer? Because it looks like it's a repeat problem. It just keeps coming up. He leaves his trailer in a meeting or he leaves it in his driveway.
I haven't met him. Obviously, they're not here.
That's the same trailer that was in the previous one.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Right.
Both the same address, different cases. Are there any further questions? If not, I'll accept the motion.
Motion to accept the city's recommendation.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to accept the city's recommendation. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? So ordered. Our next case is AI 17, case number 20160-20642. It's a repeat violation. The City of Palm Coast versus Lance L. Tate, Trustee, 33 Bunker View Drive, Palm Coast Code Section 44-34F, vehicle improperly parked.
For the record, respondent is not present. Code Enforcement Officer McDonald for the City of Palm Coast. I'm entering to evidence city's composite one, proving proper service, and a copy of the original board order along with numerous photographs. These photos that I took depict the conditions on the date and time as indicated. The facts of the case are as follows. Respondent was previously found in violation on the same code the 13th of October 2015. This violation was corrected. The repeat notice was written on the 16th of February 2016, giving the appropriate required time to comply as per Florida Statute Chapter 162.0633 and 162.091. The respondent was in repeat violation of the above-cited code for the period of February 16, 2016 to February 21, 2016. A recheck of the property was conducted before code board on the 22nd of February 2016, and the violation has been corrected. Based upon the testimony and evidence submitted in the case, the city is requesting that the board impose the following, a complied violation D, requesting a fine of $100 a day for 6 days in violation, totaling $600, and administrative cost of $69.50.
Are there any questions from the board members?
Has the owner responded to any of these notices? Because now he's looking at substantial dollars involved.
This owner, I don't know what's going on right now with him. He's had several properties. He's lost them, so this is probably the last one he's losing.
Are there any further questions? If not, I'll accept the motion.
Motion to accept the city's recommendation.
Second.
I have a motion and second to accept the city's recommendation. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? So ordered. Our next case is AI 18, case number 20160-20026. City of Palm Coast versus Robert H. Beer. 1 Lindenhurst Lane, Palm Coast Code Section 15-108H. Unlicensed vehicle.
For the record, respondent is not present. Code Enforcement Officer McDonald for the City of Palm Coast. I'm entering to evidence the city's composite one, proving proper service along with the numerous photographs. These photos depict the conditions on the date and time as indicated. The facts of the case were as follows. On the 11th day of July 2012, a notice was written. Upon reinspection, the violation was corrected and the case was closed. The current notice was written on the 29th day of January 2016, giving 3 days to comply. Proper noticing procedures were followed in this and all cases. A recheck of the property conducted on the 22nd day of April 2016, and the violation had been corrected. This is the second notice given for the same violation on this property. Based upon the testimony and evidence submitted in the case, the city is requesting that the board impose the following, a no-fine standing order A, and administrative cost of $5,350.
Are there any questions from the board members? If not, I'll accept the motion.
Motion to accept the city's recommendation.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to accept the city's recommendation. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? So ordered. Our next case is AI 20, case number 2016-101149. City of Palm Coast versus Quinn Ye Lin, 23 Red Clover Lane. Palm Coast Code Section 15-108H, unlicensed vehicle.
The respondents are not present. Code Enforcement Officer Joe Festa for the City of Palm Coast. Entering into evidence, City Composite 1, proving proper service along with numerous photographs. These photos depict the conditions on the date and times as indicated. The facts of the case are as follows. The current notice was written on 15th day of January 2016, giving 5 days to comply. Proper noticing procedures were followed in this and all cases. A recheck of the property was conducted yesterday, and a violation has not been corrected. This is the first notice given for the same violation on this property with the same property owner. Based upon testimony and evidence submitted in this case, the city is requesting the board impose the following. Fine violation order C, I recommend giving 5 days to comply or a fine of $50 per day and administrative cost of $69.
Are there any questions from the board members? If not, I'll accept the motion.
Motion to accept the city's recommendation.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to accept the city's recommendation. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? So ordered. Our next case is AI 21, case number 2016-011006. The City of Palm Coast versus Donna Gustin, 6 Riker Place, Palm Coast Code Section 15-114A, rubbish, trash, and garbage.
The respondents are not present. Code Enforcement Officer Joe Festa for the City of Palm Coast. Excuse me. Entering into evidence, City Composite 1, proving proper service along with numerous photographs. These photos depict the conditions on the date and times as indicated. Facts of the case are as follows. On the 22nd day of April 2012, a notice was written and upon reinspection, a violation was corrected and the case was closed. On the 26th day of March 2015, a notice was written and upon reinspection, the violation was corrected and the case was closed. On June 10, 2015, a notice was written and upon reinspection, the violation was corrected and the case was closed. Current notice was written on January 26, 2016, giving 1 day to comply. Proper noticing procedures were followed in this and all cases. A recheck of the property was conducted yesterday and the violation has been corrected. This is the fourth notice given for the same violation on this property with the same property owner. Based upon testimony and evidence submitted in this case, the city is requesting the board impose the following. Fine violation order B, recurring, in compliance, and administrative cost of $5,350.
Are there any questions from the board members? If not, I'll accept the motion.
Motion to accept the city's recommendation.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to accept the city's recommendation. All those in favor say aye.
I'm sorry. He indicated a fine violation order, but it's a no-fine standing order?
It's a recurring, no-fine standing order, B, $5,350.
Okay. Any motion to accept the city's recommendation?
Second.
Okay, I have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed? So ordered. Our next case is AI 25. Case number 2016-010771, a repeat violation. The City of Palm Coast versus Richard H. and Christina M. Taylor, 294 Parkview Drive, Palm Coast Code Section 15-108H, Palm Coast Code Section 44-34C, parking of a commercial vehicle in a residential district.
For the record, the respondent is not present. Code Enforcement Officer Romeo for the City of Palm Coast. I am entering into evidence the city's composite one proving proper service and a copy of the original board order along with numerous photos. These photos that I took depict the conditions on the date and time as indicated. The facts of the case are as follows. The respondent was previously found in violation of the same code on the 7th of July, 2015. The violation was corrected. The repeat notice was written on the 20th day of January, 2016, giving the appropriate required time to comply as per Florida statute. The respondent was a repeat violation of the above-cited code for the period of 20th of January, 2016, to the 20th January 2016. A recheck of the property was conducted before Code Board on the 21st of January 2016 and a violation has been corrected. Based upon the testimony and evidence submitted in this case, the city is requesting that the board impose the following. Comply to repeat violation D, requesting a fine of $100 a day for one day in violation totaling $100 and administrative cost of $69.50.
Were they only in violation one day?
One day.
He moved all that dollars, stuff.
Right? $100 a day, yeah.
Any further questions from the board members?
We're accepting the concrete mixing equipment as a commercial vehicle?
Yes.
Are there any further questions?
Motion to accept the city's recommendation.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to accept the city's recommendation. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, so ordered. Let's take a 10-minute break. We'll be right back. Continue on the meeting of the Code Enforcement Board for May 4th, 2016. Our next case will be AI 26, case number 20151210-33. It's a repeat violation. The City of Palm Coast versus Christopher Mack, 85 Pine Haven Drive, Palm Coast Code Section 44-34C, parking of a commercial vehicle in a residential district.
For the record, the respondent is not present. Code Enforcement Officer Romeo for the City of Palm Coast. I am entering into evidence the city's composite one proving proper service and a copy of the original board order along with numerous photos. These photos that I took depict the conditions on the date and time as indicated. The facts of the case are as follows. The respondent was previously found in violation of the same code on the 12th of May, 2015. The violation was corrected. The repeat notice was written on the 28th of December, 2015, giving the appropriate quiet time as per Florida statutes. The respondent was in repeat violation of the above-cited code for the period of the 28th December 2015 to the 20th of December 2015. A recheck of the property is conducted before Code Board on the 30th day of December 2015, and a violation has been corrected. Just a note, this is the first repeat. Based upon the testimony and evidence submitted in this case, the city is requesting that the board impose the following. Complied repeat violation D, requesting a fine of $100 a day for one day in violation, totaling $100, and administrative cost of $69.50.
Are there any questions from the board members?
The picture we have in front of us shows that maybe a truck was parked there, but we don't see a vehicle.
Now, if you zoom in, he's sneaky.
Yeah.
If you zoom in on a vacant lot, see the truck?
No. Oh, there he is. Okay.
Are there any further questions?
Motion to accept the city's recommendation.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to accept the city's recommendation. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? So ordered. Our next case is AI 27, case number 20151214. It's a repeat violation of City of Palm Coast versus Kurt Lawrence, 24 Pine Hill Lane, Palm Coast Code Section 35-76D1, nuisance accumulations.
For the record, the respondent is not present. Code Enforcement Officer Romeo for the City of Palm Coast. I am entering into evidence the city's composite one proving proper service and a copy of the original board order along with numerous photos. These photos that I took depict the conditions on the date and time as indicated. The facts of the case are as follows. The respondent was previously found in violation of the same code on the 7th of July, 2015. This violation was corrected. The repeat notice was written on the 30th of December 2015, giving the appropriate required time to comply as per Florida statute. The respondent was in repeat violation of the above-cited code for the period of December 30, 2015 to January 19, 2016. A recheck of the property was conducted before code board on the 25th of January 2016, and a violation has been corrected. Based upon the testimony and evidence submitted in this case, the city is requesting that the board impose the following. Complied repeat violation D, requesting a fine of $50 a day for 21 days, in violation totaling $1,050, and administrative costs of $69.50.
Are there any questions from the board members? If not, I'll accept the motion.
Motion to accept the city's recommendation.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to accept the city's recommendation. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? So ordered. Our next case is case number AI-28. Case number 20160108, a repeat violation, the City of Palm Coast versus Gerardo A. Aguilar, 58 Post View Drive, Palm Coast Code Section 44-34C, parking of a trailer in a residential district. Good morning.
Good morning. For the record, the respondents are not present. I'm Code Enforcement Officer Shelley for the City of Palm Coast. I am entering into evidence the city's composite, proving proper service, and a copy of the original board order along with numerous photographs. The photos that I took depict the conditions and the date and time of as indicated. Facts of the case are as follows. The respondent was previously found in violation of the same code on the 5th of September 2013. This violation was corrected. The repeat notice was written on the 21st of January 2016, given the appropriate required time to comply as Florida statute. The respondent was in repeat violation of the above cited code for the period of the 21st of January 2016 to the 23rd of January 2016. A recheck of the property was conducted before code board on the 25th of January 2016 and has been corrected. This is the fourth repeat. Based upon the testimony and evidence submitted in this case, the city's requested that the board impose the fine, complied repeat violation D, requesting a fine of $450 a day for 3 days in violation totaling $1,350 and administrative cost of $71.
Are there any questions from the board members?
The $450 a day, why is it so high in this particular case?
It's the fourth repeat.
That's in line with our regulations?
Yes, sir.
Does the owner understand what the fine can amount to?
Motion to accept the city's recommendation.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to accept the city's recommendation. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed? So ordered.
Is this property homesteaded?
Yes, it is. Yes.
Okay.
Our next case is AI 29, case number 20160108 60, a recurring case. The City of Palm Coast versus Natalia Horbach, 54 Post Wood Drive, Palm Coast Code Section 44-34C, parking of a trailer in a residential district.
For the record, the respondents are not present. Code Enforcement Officer Shelley for the City of Palm Coast. I am entering into evidence the city's composite, proving proper service along with numerous photographs. These photos depict conditions on the date and time as indicated. The facts of the case are as follows. On the 23rd day of August 2011, a notice was written. Upon reinspection, the violation was corrected and the case was closed. On the 16th day of May 2014, a notice was written. A reinspection, the violation was corrected and the case was closed. On the 14th day of November 2014, a notice was written. Upon reinspection, the violation was corrected and the case was closed. The current notice was written on the 22nd day of January 2016, giving one day to comply. Proper noticing procedures were followed in this case. A recheck of the property was conducted on the 25th day of January 2016, and the violation has been corrected. This is the fourth notice given for the same violation on this property and property owner. Based upon the testimony and evidence submitted in this case, the city is requesting the board impose the following. No fine standing order B, recurring, an administrative cost of $53.50.
Are there any questions from the board members? If not, I'll accept the motion.
Motion to accept the city's recommendation.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to accept the city's recommendation. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? So ordered.
Left 38. AI 38.
Our next case is AI 38. Case number 2015-120475. Recurring case. The City of Palm Coast versus William J. and Barbara Ann Mulvey. 197 Frankfurt Lane, Palm Coast Code Section 44-34C, parking of a commercial vehicle in a residential district.
For the record, the respondents are not present. Court Officer Luis Mendez for the City of Palm Coast. Went to enter into evidence City Composite 1 proving proper service, along with photographs taken that depict the condition and date as time is indicated. The facts of the case as follows. I'm just going to shoot out the dates, being it's quite a few days. But on the 19th day of September 2012, on the 26th day of December 2012, on the 4th day of February 2014, on the 28th day of September 2014, on the 1st day of November 2014, on the 5th day of July 2015, the 27th day of September 2015, a notice was issued. On each and every one of those days, the violation was corrected and the case was closed. The current notice of violation was issued on the 10th day of December 2015, given one day to comply. Proper noticing procedures were followed in all cases. Did not come into compliance until April 18th, 2016. Recheck of the property was conducted before code board and the violation has been corrected. This is the eighth notice issued for the same violation on this property and property owner. Based upon the testimony and evidence submitted in this case, the city is requesting that the board should impose the following. Motion B, no fine standing order recurring, plus $53.50 administrative costs.
Taking it, this is the eighth one, and wouldn't a little fine help here?
They're in compliance, and you haven't. It's not a repeat.
Okay.
Well, if it happens again, they'll be fine.
That's the same company. It's been at another address, too. Mm-hmm. Am I correct?
Oh, yeah. Been around.
Are there any further questions from the board members?
Motion to accept the city's recommendation.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to accept the city's recommendation. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? So ordered. All right. Is there any unfinished business? None to report? Any old business?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Reichman, can we get an update on the golf course?
You certainly can. We've had a meeting with them. It's been a couple weeks now. Remember, you may remember that the issues with regard to the golf course were overgrown conditions. That was number one. That was the one that came before this board. But there were other issues. There were a couple trees that were down, which had been rectified. Those are in compliance. And the third matter with regard to the golf course were the structures. There were several buildings and structures on there. Those matters had been noticed but had not actually come before this board. So, therefore, with regard to the matter, with regard to the golf course, Matanzas Golf Course, at the time that we had the meeting, they had brought the property into compliance. So there is a fine, and I don't think it's been turned into a lien yet. Did we have a Massey hearing?
Yeah.
That's right. I'm sorry. It's got a lot of things going. We did. You instructed me to initiate foreclosure. We've done the title search. We're prepared to file the foreclosure, but we did have a meeting with them. And as a result of that meeting, there was an agreement, which is still ongoing, that they would meet with staff, which they did, to clarify exactly what was wrong with the buildings and what they were going to have to do to bring the buildings into compliance. There was a meeting with staff to allow the staff to go out onto the property, inspect the entire property, make sure that it was in compliance with regard to the overgrown conditions, which it was in compliance with the overgrown conditions. And there was also an agreement with staff that the property owners would be submitting an application for a development order of some kind after discussing with staff the different options that were available to the property owners with regard to development. So I have received direction to hold off on the foreclosure since the foreclosure is to, under 162, to gain compliance. Obviously, there will come a point in time where we will have to sit down with the owners of the property to discuss the lien, the payment thereof, or a request to the city council to reduce that lien, or we will then, my office will be in a position to follow your dictate and to initiate the foreclosure. Certainly the hopes that we can encourage the continued compliance with our code, not just with the overgrown conditions, but with regard to the structures and the condition of the structures. And just as importantly, I would submit for the purpose for the residents in that community to start seeing something done with that property, rather than just let it sit there in its current condition, to have some progress being made with the current owners of the property to develop it. So that's where we are. I wish I could tell you that it's going to be a golf course again. It's not going to be a golf course again, unless I don't foresee a path to that. I don't see a path. But there are other options under the code, and certainly the property owners could come in and seek an amendment to their current zoning or obtain the necessary development orders to do different things. I can't tell you what it's going to be because I'm not the property owner. And I don't know exactly what that's going to be. We're certainly hopeful that it's going to be something that will be beneficial to the city with some stormwater issues. It'll be beneficial to the neighbors for purposes of green space. And at the same time, accommodate the property owners and their reasonable expectations of development on the property.
It seems we made a lot of progress. I think everybody in the city, your staff, are all to be commended on that. It's taken a long time, but we're getting somewhere.
It's taken a long time, and there's been some painful moments.
Thank you.
Yeah. Again, I wish I could tell you that it's all in the rearview mirror, but we are getting there, sir.
All right. There is a workshop following this meeting. If there be no other comments about the meeting, our next code board meeting will be June 1st, 2016 at 10 a.m. Here. And do I hear a motion for adjournment?
Motion to adjourn.
I second that.
I have a motion and a second to adjourn. All those in favor say aye.
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 Meeting adjourned. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. I've been told to speak fast because I'm holding up your lunch. So keep that in mind. I'll try to get to the point as quickly as possible, answer any questions that you may have. Yes.
Can I get a packet, please?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Thank
I think
you.
When I was handing them out.
I wasn't here. You still have one for yourself still?
Beg your pardon?
You still have one for yourself?
I still do. Yes, that's important.
Well, I would give this back.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. Well, good morning. To some of you, this little handout will look familiar. And the reason is because while we updated and changed some dates to protect the innocent, it's basically the same general outline of your process, which you certainly are aware of. You did it well today. That we worked with you last year in a similar workshop to today. However, working with Barbara, we felt that it's always good to go through the process again, to go through how this board interprets Chapter 162, how this board works through its code of ordinances, which adopts 162, and to make sure that we're all on the same page. When I say the same page, that means your attorney, staff, code enforcement, as the attorney for the staff, and answer any questions that you may have. I'm going to just try to get this to be a discussion. I think that's the best way to do it. So if there's any questions you have about this outline, I'm going to go through it broadly. But I wanted to start with kind of a little higher up and talk about exactly what we're here for, what as a group, as all of us, what we're here for, and what guides us. Starting place is the Florida legislature. for the legislature. You keep hearing me say Chapter 162. Well, that's the Florida statutes, and I don't know if the time that you entered into your position, whether anyone provided you with a copy of Chapter 162 of the Florida statutes. But if you need it, we can get it to you, staff can get it to you. But that's where all this starts. Code enforcement boards are authorized under Florida law, and their processes are set forth in Florida law. That the Code of Ordinances, the City Council of the City of Palm Coast, adopted the code enforcement process, code enforcement board process. We also can issue citations, which is part two of Chapter 162, which has nothing to do with you, but it's an alternative, supplemental method to enforce the codes. And, of course, there is a substantial body of case law, meaning decisions from the appellate courts and the circuit courts that have interpreted factual situations, historical factual situations, about how, like Mary and I, are to interpret Chapter 162 and various codes of ordinances, because sometimes the legislature doesn't use exactly the right words or the right phrases, and so there can be ambiguities. And then, of course, no author can prepare one set of words for all the myriad sets of factual examples out there that are possible. So that's why sometimes the courts get involved. So that's the legal basis for what we're here for. I will say, from a fundamental standpoint, what we're here for, I would suggest this whole process is to use a hammer, is to create a hammer to get people to comply with codes. Pure and simple. It's not a money making. It's not like we're trying to fund the general budget with the fines and the liens and the payments. It helps defray the cost of code enforcement, but the whole point is to try to catch people's attention, like we did today with some folks, to get them to before a forum, before a quasi-judicial board, to let them know why they're in compliance, they're in non-compliance, what they have to do to bring it into compliance. That's, to me, is how I understand my job, my purpose. The purpose of this process and this system is that we work as a team to try to enforce what the City Council, which is an elected democratic body, has chosen to impose upon the property owners and the residents in Palm Coast. Now, a couple other terms that you all have heard, but I want to make sure that we're talking about them generally. Beginning every meeting, we say, please disclose any ex-party communications. Okay. Yeah, and it seems like sometimes we just go through the motions of saying that. But that's important because what this body is what I call a quasi-judicial body. What that means is that you're not setting policy. That's what the City Council does. What you're doing is you're taking the policy that the City Council creates and you're applying specific facts to that. So you're acting like a court, quasi-judicial. You're acting like a court. And the law is that when you act, when any local government body acts in that capacity, it has to comply with fundamental due process. And that requires notice of hearing, which is also required by Chapter 162 in your code. So that's an overlap, so we're good there. That's why you always hear staff talk at the very beginning of their presentation about notice. Okay. But just as importantly, a fair hearing. That's what fundamental due process is. Notice of hearing and then the conduct of a fair hearing. We want people to have the opportunity to show up. That's why we have to give them legal notice. And then when they show up, we want to make sure that it's fair. One of the ways that we make sure that it's fair is that we make your decisions based upon what you hear, the evidence that you hear at that hearing. Let me give you an example of what a violation of that would be. Let's say that you had a conversation with a whole bunch of the neighbors. You went out and had a meeting with a whole bunch of the neighbors, folks that come before you. And you'd come into this meeting, and you would have made up your mind. And there was nothing, I'm giving you an extreme example, but there was nothing that violator was going to tell you that could convince you that they were in violation. And that's not fair. That's why we always ask, have you had any ex-party communications? And all that means is, ex-party means, have you gained any evidence relevant to that matter, any matter that's coming before you today or next month, whatever, that happened before this meeting? And almost always you guys say no. And that's fine. But I just want to make sure, if you have, and there's nothing wrong, people call you. It's less common with code boards than it is with city councils. It's much more common with city councils or county commissions and so on. But if you get a phone call from the violator or from a neighbor, don't know that whether any of you ever have, But it's not like you can say, please, you know, hang up, I can't talk to you. You just have to disclose it. And then the most important thing is if you have had some sort of information phone call, someone stops you at the Burger King or the Panera's, you just need to disclose it. And then you need to say, yes, I talked to these folks, but I'm going to make my decision today based upon what I hear. I have not made my mind up. I'm going to make my decision on the evidence that I hear today. So that's, I know we're not getting into the guts of the process, but that's important. It's just as important. So lastly, that's the kind of the fundamentals of a quasi-judicial process. The other term that you hear is the sunshine law. Now, again, we're not talking about your process. We're talking about laws that apply to you. This group, this board, is a sunshine. What that means is the sunshine law, chapter 286 of the statutes, applies to all. What that means is that you can't talk to each other about matters that are going to come before you. Could come before you. You can talk to each other about anything else. You can talk to each other about whether you think this code is wrong. You can talk about that, because that's not going to come before you. Come before the supervisor. But if you know that there's a case coming up next month, and it's a violation, and you have strong feelings about it, you can't call each other and say, well, where did you get this? Because first of all, it's ex parte, it's not fair here. And more importantly, it's a sunshine. And there are penalties associated with that. I'm giving an extreme example. I'm not suggesting you can do that. But I almost have to give extreme examples. So just don't, and it would be less likely that all of you would have the need to talk to about the sunshine. It's much more difficult for governing bodies to possibly because they can see each other all the time in social circumstances, at other meetings. It's so hard for them not to talk to her, that day or the very next day, they may know they've got a little. I just want to make sure it's important. Sunshine law applies to all of you as well.
Hey, Bill, can I add one thing? That's why I don't like to see you whispering amongst yourself during a case presentation, just because somebody may say, hey, are you trying to decide this, the two of you, without telling the rest of us? If you have a question like you didn't hear something, I prefer you to say, can you repeat that, instead of asking your neighbor, because
a lot of things that Mary and I, what I'm saying and Mary will say today, I'm not really that concerned about. I'm just trying to give you examples. Two people, they got their tails cracked. They were texting each other. They were texting each other about what's going on over there. Sunshine about each other.
Yes, they did.
It got caught on camera, didn't it?
So.
Yes, it got caught on camera. You could see them texting.
So me can get ugly. And my job and Mary's job is to make sure that ugly does not apply in the same sense in a newspaper with anything associated with the city. So that's what we're trying to do.
And I just say that about whispering because I've had a planning board with an issue. A full crowd, not so much code enforcement, but people start going, why are you guys whispering?
We don't whisper, do we? Again, a lot of this is just, heads up, fair warning, not so much that Mary and I are really...
Exactly.
We're not worried about what you've done. We're just trying to make sure that it doesn't happen. Because you guys are volunteers. The last thing we want to do is have someone come out of the blue and give you grief. Your pay stinks and the retirement benefits are worse. So that's my old joke. So you don't want to take any grief more than what you have to take already. So let me get into this actual handout. That was stuff that wasn't in the handout, or at least most of it. And a lot of this you all already know. So it's just this isn't Deborah and I tried to create this, or Deborah did a lot of this last year. So it was. There's some of the statute in here, there's some of the law, but we're trying to break it down so it's pretty straightforward. So let's start at the beginning, because that's where the memo starts with the process. How does this start? I'm going to try to focus on stuff that's not obvious, but the stuff that applies to you. The first thing is, well, how does any code enforcement case start? Well, what the most important thing that you need to know is it shouldn't start with you. Okay, the law says that none of you can initiate a code enforcement case. As much as you might like to, think about it.
How would it look? Traffic violates Chapter 162, despite it, it still doesn't look good. The code enforcement case, the code enforcement officer says, in public hearing, case number 3, this matter started with the chairman calling me last two months ago on a Tuesday saying it was a violation. Think about that. That obviously is not a good place to start.
So the law says that only code enforcement officers are allowed to initiate it. And so our job, your job, starts at these hearings. And so there you go.
So if we personally see a violation in our neighborhood, what do we do?
You
don't
ignore
do anything.
It.
Right.
You
okay.
Ignore it. I mean, I guess they could. You could report it, but you can't.
I always say, you know, you're a citizen as well as a member. It's best not to. But if you do it once every year or five, okay, you're a citizen, that's probably all right, they can investigate. If you're calling regularly, you've crossed the line and you are not doing your job.
Right.
Yeah, you're doing the code officer's job. But you are a citizen at the same time, so,
right,
you know.
Right,
It's like everything about
a lot of
I
it's
think.
Just common sense,
yeah.
But I guess I would encourage you not to get in the habit of making a phone call to Barbara and say, hey, Barbara, I found another one. You know, you have someone go out.
I mean,
and
you have neighbors, you know, sure. Who probably would also see the same violation.
I have a
there are ways
just
to deal with that.
Using the same process as any other citizen would. Just
call again,
the code board,
again,
whoever answers
if,
the phone.
If your next door neighbor is bothering you because he puts his garbage out every Monday, and you complain 7 times, it puts the code enforcement officers in a tough position because they might have to answer a question. You know, how did you find about this? Well, code enforcement board member called me 7 times, and that could be an issue under Chapter 162, in our code of ordinances.
There was only one time, and I did call code enforcement. It was during an election season, up here at the library. Y'all know the candidates stand out everywhere. Okay, now the candidates decided to go stand out in the median with their signs. They were putting signs out in the median, and they wanted to stand there. Now, I could have easily said, you know what, it's not my business. But if there would have been, God forbid, someone got hit or an accident caused because signs were put out in that median when they shouldn't have been, you know, me personally, I don't think I would have wanted to read those headlines. So I did make a phone call. But, I mean, I'm sorry, if a candidate's going to get out in the middle of the road, okay.
The statute doesn't get that specific. Remember I mentioned at the beginning of our conversations that the statutes sometimes are not as clear. The statute says that no code enforcement board member may initiate code enforcement. It doesn't define what initiate means. Technical standpoint, initiating the code enforcement case, sending a warning notice or a notice of violation. Technically, and you guys can do that, of course, you have code enforcement.
Not enough time. But
what does it mean to initiate? Could it possibly be found by a court of law that if we have Mr. Roberts out there and he's calling once a week?
Again, don't do that.
I'm not saying there's a case, but I'm trying to be conservative, hopefully, to help you guys understand what possibly a court could rule if we get a certain set of facts. I don't have the luxury of a court's decision on a specific set of facts. A type description of it? Who can initiate, the word initiate? That would be sending out a notice of violation.
But not all judges are that.
All judges, they make
you narrow,
that term
you know,
very broad.
Exactly.
I'm not going to make it happen, Mr. Cullen.
I'm thoroughly confused instead of partially. So if I have a problem, I know what to call.
That's a real big problem.
Yeah, no, I'm not calling you.
I mean, if you see something that you think is a false safety, I think you almost have a duty to to, 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 to everything is wise, you get in the habit of not nothing else to be for the purpose.
And code enforcement members sometimes do that. That's the problem. Mm-hmm. I mean, if it was, oh, once every 10 years you notice a violation, well, that, you know.
No, I'm not going to go looking for overgrown lawns.
But believe me, some people.
I have my own yard to worry about.
Some code board members in different jurisdictions have done that.
Question, where did they find the time?
Exactly. But.
All right. You didn't get stuck on that, but this is a good conversation. So and here we are. We just got started. So I guess there's going to be a little bit more. So how does it start? Well, let's assume that Mr. Copeland didn't start the process. Let's assume that when the code enforcement officer started the process, they're going to go out and they're going to do inspection, and depending upon whether this is the first, second, 12th, 20th time, they're going to either send a notice of a warning notice, which is generally speaking, if this is the first time a code enforcement officer for the city of Palm Coast has come to this property, they're going to send out a warning notice. Is that fair? You're not going to immediately send out a notice of violation unless it's really a terrible situation, correct?
Usually when somebody's written for the first time for the first violation, usually give them courtesy notice.
Courtesy notice.
And, you know, and then if it's something that's been written more than once or twice, we always just go right to a notice of violation.
Right.
And is it fair to say that the majority of the cases, though, are started by complaints?
Neighbors.
From somebody.
Yeah, neighbors.
I'll defer to them because I'm
not a code enforcement officer. Yeah, I think that's fair, but we have code enforcement officers whose job it is to drive the community.
And they do. And
yeah, sometimes something is one person complains about one person. We'll drive down the block, and if there's five violations, then all five are getting given in all different locations. We just don't concentrate on the one. We also do our own patrolling of every single street. So, you know, as the officer goes down a certain street, every violation he sees, he starts to either monitor or he writes a notice of violation. You know, so that's what happens with that. So, you know, if something he's monitoring, that means, you know, he might come back 2 days and to check up on it again to see if it's still in violation. You know, sometimes it could be a trailer there, you know, and you're thinking somebody's working on it. So you'll come back later that evening or you'll come back the next day and see if it's not being used at all. And then we'll write the notice of violation. But usually when you see this, because we already observed it and we try to give it time to see exactly what's going on. And it might be the lawn. We monitor the lawn. You know, we see it finally gets to a certain point. We give them the weekend to cut it. They don't cut it. We come back Monday. Now it's knee high. Now it gets written. And so on, you know, with every other violation that's on that street that we go.
Remember, we recently, 6 months, whatever, you've seen a lot of cases where there's pictures of commercial vehicles in the middle of the night. Well, that's because that was becoming a problem. And so, in order to try to get in front of that, code enforcement staff decided that it was important to have staff actually go out and proactively try to find those. And this, remember, you asked this gentleman a couple months ago, well, when do you sleep?
Well, he's at 5 o'clock in the morning, 4:30 in the morning.
Yeah, because all the photos of the vehicles, remember, in the swales in the commercial vehicles dark. Where it was dark and you could see the lights on and so on. And so that's, to answer your question, sometimes they'll get a lot of complaints and they just need to get ahead of it. So they'll go out and be proactive. Okay, so notice of violation. Notice of violation is actually the first legal step under Chapter 162. It's how you formally begin technically the process to where it gets to this board. Every notice of violation pursuant to law is required to give the alleged violator a reasonable period of time to comply. Reasonable is not defined in the Florida statutes either, and it's obviously something that's a matter of judgment, and you've seen anywhere from 1 day if it's a parking violation, to 2 weeks, to a month to fix the roof, to a week for, I don't think you guys have a standard list of times. Like, don't you all just pretty much use common sense in your judgment?
Yeah, we usually, like, with lawns, we usually will give 5 days, which is business days, so that way at least it extends over a weekend for somebody. You know, and when it's recurring, we usually just start cutting it down. You know, we'll go down to 3 days, down 2 days, you know, till we finally get to that one day where, you know, because it's somebody that we continually have to write. And the only way they cut it is when we write them, which is not productive for us, but that's that's when you start seeing the one days and stuff like that.
Right. You don't usually see the one days on the first, for the first violation. I mean, that's just rare. I mean, you're going to let them have an opportunity. That might even be determined if it ever got to a court of law as not being reasonable. Again, a court would have to look, you know, do the Monday morning quarterback and figure out whether that was reasonable or not, if someone wrote, raised that as an issue. So you got a notice of violation, give them a reasonable period of time, say it's 10 days. They go out on the 11th day, and they're going to check it. If it is in compliance, then the case is closed, all right, unless it's a recurring again and again. Okay, but if that's it, never happens again, they're done, all right? But let's say that it doesn't, but it's not in compliance on the 11th day. Well, then what's the next step? The notice of hearing. Those are the two formal notices that are required by Chapter 162, and the law requires a certain process for how those notices are to be sent: certified mail, posting, sometimes hand delivery, those sorts of things. And you'll always hear that at the very beginning of the presentations from staff. And there is a specific statutory requirement of that. For example, you heard today the gentleman say, well, I didn't get notice of what happened in 2014. And again, that was something that would have been part of the record in the 2014 case, put on the record by the city staff at the very beginning of that hearing in order for the case to go forward. You can't even get into the case unless you have on the record that that due process has been complied with, that the statutory requirements under 162 have been complied with for notice. And just FYI, we went back and took a look at it, and indeed there was posting and there was the certified mail sent in 2014. But again, that's just history. I was just trying to give an example.
Right. But on that case, in order for there to have been an order even entered, what you're saying is that notice of delivery, the notice of receipt that he got it, or someone, one of the two respondents got the notice.
No, otherwise, that's not what's required. Actual notice is not required. What is required under the Florida statutes of local governments is to comply with a reasonable attempt to give notice.
Okay.
And that's being done by sending out certified mail, which is done by the code, and posting it. And okay. Both those things are done in almost every case.
You said in first class also.
In first class also, excuse me. Once you do that, the statute is satisfied. Okay. So there may not be actual notice. People might be gone for a month. They may get it and rip it up. Their nephew may tear it off and throw it away.
We had that today.
Okay? I mean, you hear these reasons. I mean, the guy didn't have notice, but his nephew did.
But he was also a tenant, but the city sent it, right, certified mail, to the property
to the
owner's
property owner.
Address that the property appraiser has, which is why the property owner notified this guy, because he got notice.
And we're required to send it to that address pursuant to the information that's provided to us in the property appraiser's. And by the way, the property appraiser had the gentleman and his ex-wife still on the title. So, you know, these are the issues that sometimes you hear, but what staff makes sure is it doesn't get to that point unless they double-check before they actually put it on the case, on your agenda. Sometimes maybe they'll withdraw it or they'll continue it, but they don't actually bring it forward unless they know that they've done what is legally required under 162 to get notice. And that's for the two notices. That's the notice of violation and the notice of hearing. Okay, all of you are familiar with repeat violations. The main difference there is that you can skip step one. You can skip the first notice. If it's a repeat violation, and we talked about that today, that same case was a good example I can use. This was a gentleman that was found in violation in 2014. We didn't have to do a notice of violation. You don't have to give him a reasonable opportunity to cure. You just send a notice of violation. And the fine can start from the time that the fine is discovered if it's a repeat violation until it's cured. That's why you have all of these no-fine standing orders, if you will, because you've had... I think the most common example is you have recurring violations. You know, notice, fix, notice, fix, notice, fix, so they just get tired of it. They do the recurring notice of violation. Have you? Get the order that is no fine standing order so that the next time you don't have to go through the notice, fix, notice, fix, notice, fix. You just can get it before you go on your tax. Yeah, the purpose is to achieve compliance. And the way you achieve compliance is getting.
I think that's what I was alluding to in that last case where the guy did it eight times, and I was wondering why we didn't just, and it was according to the regulations.
Right. We had never,
if they're in compliance.
That was not a repeat.
But now he's a repeat, so you will be able to find the next time, even if he's in compliance by the time you see him.
And so that's what we're talking about in really on page 2 and page 3. And I've talked about the purposes of what these terms that we use, no fine standing order cases, recurring cases, repeat cases, and you see them identified as such on your agenda. But that's how it plays out from a practical standpoint. Now, we've talked a little bit, I'm on page 3 for what it's worth, about these being quasi-judicial hearings. Remember, everyone gets sworn in. Mary does that. We talked about due process, notice of hearing, fair opportunity. So I've already dealt with what notice is, opportunity to be heard. They can bring witnesses. Landlords can bring tenants. Tenants can speak on behalf of landlords. They can bring a neighbor, as long as it's relevant. And it's up to this board to decide with the assistance of your counsel on what is relevant. That's a key test. And we've given some examples. Now, what you don't have to put up with is abuse. And it doesn't happen very often, but you got to be careful. You got to let people, they're mad. A lot of people, when they get here, they're upset. They're frustrated. And a lot of it is because they just don't understand. They don't like the law. They're wrong. The guy today says, this may not be the right place for racist, but I think it's a dumb law, but I can't have a tradesman can't have a truck. Chairman, you make the right point. Well, make the rules, we just enforce the rules. Sometimes they get mad, they get angry, they don't hear that. And so that's where you have to, as a board, as the chairman, this is your job. You've got to be careful to let them have their say. They're entitled to due process, but they're not entitled just to be up there and be cursed. So that's what.
Or irrelevant, like the Matanzas case, the lawyer was, you know, like any good trial lawyer, trying to take you down a rabbit hole that really wasn't relevant to what you were doing at that particular hearing on that day.
Right. You know? And then that's the rare situation. I think that's really the only time I think I've ever done that in my capacity as a city staff. That's the only time you've ever heard me, that I can remember, say, excuse me, Mr. Chairman, city judge. This is not relevant to what we're doing here today. That's
sorry,
a little bit. I kind of sort of did that a little bit today with that the gentleman was saying, well, this is not a repeat. And I was trying to clarify, well, you can't get into whether there was notice or not in 2014. My opinion, my legal opinion, that was irrelevant to what was your job to hear today. So those are some of the legal issues of what's relevant, and that's what you want to turn to Mary, and if you have concerns about that. Because ultimately, I'm an advocate, I have an opinion, but ultimately she's your attorney, as all of you well know. So, relevance, kind of evidence, say that you receive a packet, we talk about ex parte. These are the questions. I'm a hearing officer for another city, and so I'm a code enforcement hearing officer. So I had your job, but I do it as one person. And this is what I always keep in mind. I wrote this down. And this is like what's on page 5, except I put it in real short. When the city that I'm a hearing officer for comes to me and they want me to do my job, this is what I want them to do. What is the code? What does it require? Was it violated? And how? Very important. How long? What do they have to do to comply? Has there been compliance in the time needed to comply? And then what is their recommendation for a fine? That's really what the hearing is about, are those questions right there. And and I've just put that in shorthand, but it's all on page 5. You know, again, what is the code? That's really important. The staff needs to tell you, this is the code, and it's in the agenda, but you want to look at what is it that is in violation. You've got to apply photos and the testimony to the code. Otherwise, what do the photos mean? You can't determine what's relevant or not unless you know what the code is that's allegedly being violated. I think that's common sense, self-explanatory, but there actually is law behind that, that you've got to think about those. I want to emphasize, I'm going to read one sentence. I'm trying not to just do that, but it's kind of in the middle of page 5. If you don't feel the code enforcement officer has sufficiently explained the violation, ask for an explanation. And the reason is because if there's an appeal, It's helpful for my office to have a good record. And it may be that the code enforcement officer, if you don't know what the defendant offers, maybe if the record is insufficient for purposes of upholding your decision on appeal, don't be shy.
And this is a prosecution. Make them prove it to you. And if you have questions about how they've done that, ask. Definitely.
We're not afraid of questions. Yeah. Trust me, this is just the tip of the iceberg that comes before you. Maybe one out of ten. It's not like we want to bring 1,000 cases. We could, but we would try to keep it down to a double rule. And these are the ones that we just can't get compliance with. Is that fair? So, I mean, if we're here, it's because we're desperate. We can't get compliance any other way. We need your help. That's pretty much why it comes to the code board. Bottom page 5, no outside evidence. That's really what I meant when I was talking about ex parte communications. Types of evidence, again, self-explanatory. There's lots of different ways. We're not a court of law. Let's say we're quasi-judicial. So the rules of evidence are actually codified. Charge of common law, court decisions, the Florida legislature, put them in the statutes and chapter. I'm telling you that so that I can then tell you, you don't need to worry about it, because this is not a court of law. But there are certain things that are go with this due process, fundamental due process. I don't know what you're saying. I'm testifying.
And
I say to you, Bob told me that you know, the garbage has been taken out at 6 in the morning. Well, it's hearsay because I'm not Bob. And you don't have the ability to cross-examine Bob. And more importantly, the other side doesn't have the opportunity to cross-examine Bob. So the courts have ruled that you can't base your decision on a finding of violation. Hearsay can be cumulative other evidence. And that's why we never hear testimony and evidence.
And the time and the date of that photo.
Correct. To make sure that it is relevant. Make sure that it's consistent with the time. That it's not an old violation, but it's this violation, and it's consistent with the notices that were sent out. Bottom page 8, setting the compliance date and the fine. Again, you'll hear the recommendation and the request by the city staff, but ultimately that's your decision. Use your discretion. The bottom page 9 in Palm Coast, Palm Coast does it a little differently than what's generally speaking because we passed a resolution. I think it was a resolution, might have been an ordinance. But we can, for the first fine, we can do up to $1,000 per day. You rarely hear the staff request that. For a repeat violation, you can go up to $5,000 per day. Usually under the state statutes, it's $250 for the first infraction, and $500. But Palm Coast, the city council, have raised that. Now, my understanding is that you have passed a resolution for some standards on what the fines will be based upon certain circumstances. Is that correct?
They have a suggested.
I think that came up today, some suggested fines.
Suggested fine.
I think it was the one today where it was $450.
$50. Mm-hmm. I questioned it.
And Ms. Roberts, I think you asked about that. And it was because under that circumstance, I think it was the fourth or fifth, so the standards that would apply were. Because normally, that's the first one I've heard that big, quite candidly, per day, it was $450. That's the highest I've heard. But in that situation, you know, if it's the fourth repeat, you can't get their attention. So this is the only way we have to get their attention.
So on that particular one, that $450, because I went to the back of our book, do you take the $150 times 3 if it's the third repeat? Is that how you get there?
Can be.
Is that how?
I don't.
I'm just trying to understand, or is it just, okay.
It's the one on 180.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
Not a reasonable amount.
Okay.
It's a one on 180.
The key if it was challenged legally, a court would say, is that reasonable? And the court would say, okay, is this the first?
Well, it's $5,000 for the repeat anyway. Yeah. And is it within the statutory amounts?
Exactly. Yeah. And then on the middle of page 9, these are the standards. There are actually a few standards that give us guidance for the amount of the fine. And I'm going to read them to you. You can see them. The gravity of the violation. I mean, are we talking about something that's not that big? Are we talking about the grass is this high? You know, the garbage has been out there for 10 weeks and it's blowing all over the community. The car's falling apart and it's leaking oil into it.
Who actually determines the fine? Is it
you?
Just,
you.
Yeah, but there was a recommendation by the city that.
Sure, but y'all don't ever have to take it.
I understand that.
Oh, okay.
But what I'm saying is that just the code officer's recommendation, or is it a joint? How did they arrive at 450? I understand that, but what I'm saying is, who actually sets that fine?
We actually do. The Code Enforcement Division, Action Department, Action.
But it's not an individual, it's a joint.
No.
We did it as a group.
Me. I'm the manager. I make the final decision.
Okay, but I mean, it's a joint decision then.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, you have.
I understand it's a recommendation, but I was trying to figure out how that number came up.
I think what I'm taking out of this is. The code enforcement department has a review of, they take the code enforcement officer's recommendation for a fine, it's reviewed by one or two or other people in the department, and then you make a determination if it's the right one?
We have a set amount, and that set amount, I have weekly staff meetings at the department. We power, we're a think tank, we come up with what we think is a reasonable amount. That is put on a table. Every officer uses that. Okay. If there is an issue that we change it for some reason, depending on the circumstances, then we would change it. If you have a person like Louie was saying, it's discussed, we've decided the circumstances 8 times is 450.
You were trying to treat people in similar situations, similar. But you can't, I mean, unless you had a 500-page table, you couldn't have all of the situations. So, but they do try to have a start. My understanding is that follow the table, the code enforcement officer will follow the table, and then ultimately, and she has concern, she probably gets with that code enforcement officer. Why did you do this?
That's what was passed out last month.
Okay.
Guideline, legal line.
But the law says gravity of the violation, any actions taken by the violator to correct the violation, and any previous violations committed by the violator. That's why when it's recurring or it's a repeat, you start seeing the higher numbers, is because that's consistent with the third factor in the Florida statutes. Okay. You know, I have to give credit where credit is due. I'm on page 10 now. The one thing that really works well for any jurisdiction that has any cases.
Have a staff recommendation. Stand motion. Move to approve. That's part of your package. And that's helpful because the motions you make have to be very clear on the record so that the staff can prepare the order and the order is consistent with the motion. The last thing you want is you want an order that has been signed by the chairperson that is not consistent with that quasi-judicial hearing.
That's how it all ties together legally. We then take the order, we record it, and then let's say that's a standard order where there's
no fine standing order, then it's done. Let's say it's one of your standard orders that says, okay, you've got 10 days of quick start, they're on there and check to see compliance. It's not in compliance. If you sue the reporter, the fine actually starts to run. And it's going to continue to run until the property owner or the violator calls the city and says, hey, I just mowed the lawn and take compliance. And you're safe. You're safe. When you come into compliance, call us. They say that on the order. Next time you see it is what we call a massing hearing. We call it a massing hearing because that was the name of the party in the Second District Court ruling. It required a separate, distinct hearing to clarify ambiguity in the statute. So it's called a massing hearing. We also call it a compliance hearing. Not to determine whether there was a violation. We don't know. It's to determine whether there's a compliance. If so, how long was it in violation beyond the deadline? I look at it as a massive hearing because all you're doing is quantifying the amount of the fine.
And taking into consideration any mitigation circumstances that might change the amount.
Correct. Right.
Typically it wouldn't, but you never know.
Standard is, start with a massive hearing is it compliance now? How many days was it? Non-compliance beyond the deadline. What is it non-compliance mean? Every once in a while, someone will show up to mass hearing and say, dog died, dog ate the homework, and that's why it died, the sun was in my eyes, you know, all that kind of stuff.
And I'm being facetious, but I mean, that can happen, okay?
And sometimes that'll make you think, all right, instead of 100, we're going to do 50.
Right.
Maybe.
Right. Page 11, we're getting there. When you enter the Massey order and it gets recorded, folks, that's when it gets serious from a legal standpoint. It's then it's a lien.
Now, a lien is drafted because we can't foreclose on a lien because it's not homestead property. Once in a while, we can. In the last couple months, we corrected our office to initiate foreclosures. In fact, Mr. Colson asked me a question about one of those. That's what we do. All forces can be homestead property, obviously. So that's what
a massive order recorded is. It's a lien. The fine becomes a lien, and the legal distinction is that when someone comes in and wants to get a fine reduced, you guys can do it.
Once there's been a massive hearing and a massive order is recorded, then it's a lien, and that lien
has to go to the city council. City council has created a legal process for the delegation of that duty, I believe, to the city manager. But it starts with the city council. That's the distinction between a fine and a lien.
And, you know, just with regard to the homestead, it's not just a velvet hammer because, especially when you have very low interest rates and people want to refi, there's a nice little cloud on that title that prevents it until they take care of issues. So
there's a lot of times, and I'll defer to Barbara, but they get requests for what's called a stop order. All the time. Someone's refinancing or someone's selling. And this thing that was like a new way. They're never going to get a dime from me. Well, we get a phone call lots of them from the title company saying, we've got a closing in 4 days, and you didn't stop it.
That's technically behind the scenes how it works. Bottom of page 11, appeal. You heard me talk about that today. This is statutory. I just didn't make that up.
If someone doesn't like the decision that you make on any of your orders, your law will check. About 30 days from the time that order is signed to appeal. That's how they challenge. That's why I said 2014. If you didn't like it, you notice that you were going to contest it. You had 30 days from that point in time. That was not relevant testing because it wasn't a relevant issue for purposes of today.
Their appeal is to this body?
No,
to Circuit Court.
Circuit Court,
yeah.
Based on the record created.
Right.
So, you know, there's, if you see a court reporter, you know that somebody's actually creating the record. I mean, you tape it, but sometimes the tapes are harder to get and to transcribe.
Have we had a lot of appeals?
No. A few, not recently. Not recently. We had one about some dogs in a car. I'm not going to get into that because it's too painful. I'm trying to think of that one. And then there was a pool that was destroyed.
I think it's cheaper to pay the fine.
Those are the two that I can remember since I've been here.
The court case.
And usually the technicalities, usually the appeals are based upon technicalities. The chances are, the court's not going to determine fines that
Page 12, this is what I was referring to earlier, and this is a separate process under 162. It gives you a few more powers, and that's where the pool screen. You got a vacant house. We had some of these, if you remember, when we were in the depths of the recession, we had all these houses that were basically empty. Someone had vacated the property, they had vacated, the foreclosure was initiated, the bank was in the middle of it, whether it would take a year and a half, year and a half. And the guards would be inside, but the thing that was really bothering the staff and the neighbors is that you had pools were not secure, pool screens were torn open, the pools were black or dark green, they were halfway full, and it was a neighborhood full of people. That's what that's the key. That's what we have, what the statutes call a serious threat to the public health, safety, and welfare of the community. In those circumstances, this board has the power, on the recommendation from staff, to then ask the city council to go out there and run the city. We don't have the power, we the code board don't have the power to order staff to go out there. And that goes to the city council. And there are other things that the city staff can do under Chapter 35 to take other steps apart from the code board. It's important. We don't see a whole lot of those right now, but we used to, if you remember, under and it was a lot of it was pools. Talked about no fine standing orders, reduction of fines and liens, and again, can't reduce lien, you can reduce fines, and that's and this happens in the case. Whatever the circumstances are, in I can talk and talk about this. Usually these things go on about 2 or 3 hours, so. Any questions? Either they know there's food.
We really do have food today for you. We have sandwiches and chips and cookies and drinks, and we're going to have you in our lunch room today.
Well, thank you.
So thank you very much for paying attention.
Thank you, Bill. Appreciate it.
Good.
Where's the food?